It's such a blessing that you've joined us at Cultivating Hearts Radio Ministry. We're back in the studio discussing Luke 18, 1 through 14. And we've been talking about how Jesus says we ought to pray. And that's the power in everything we need is prayer. We're going to talk today about the tax collectors and the Pharisees and a little humility.
Yeah.
Maybe a lot of humility.
Maybe. You know, so Jesus is given these two parables, and when he tells this parable, the scripture tells us that he was telling this one specifically to the people that looked down on other people, thought they were righteous. They thought they had it together. And we know that the other parable of the widow and the judge, was told to the disciples. So here's how the story goes in Luke. Jesus said to them, one time there was a Pharisee and a tax collector, and both went to the temple to pray. And the Pharisee stood alone away from the tax collector, and he prayed, "Oh God, I am so thankful that I'm not like the bad people, you know, the other people that are greedy and unrighteous and adulterous and, oh, like that tax collector. I fast twice a week, and I tithe on everything I have." Whereas the tax collector, he stood alone off to the side. He couldn't even lift his eyes to heaven, and he beat his chest as he cried out, "Oh God, have mercy on me, for I am a sinner." Well, Jesus said, "I tell you, the man, when he finished his prayer, he went home right with God, but not the Pharisee. People who exalt themselves will be humbled, but those who humble themselves will be exalted." So here we have an amazing story that really reflects the heart. And I'm just going to start off right off from the beginning. I have a prayer written here. "Oh God, please forgive me, for I have sinned just like this Pharisee, and I am so sorry. Please cleanse me and humble me." I want that out from the beginning. I have sinned in this. And I ask God to forgive me, because it is very easy for us to get, or I mean, it's easy for me to be prideful.
I would agree. I'm there with you.
To be very prideful.
Yes.
And so this one here just like walked all over me. The other one walked all over me and reminded me I needed to persist in prayer. This one walked all over me and that it was revealing my sin.
Mine too.
And it is so easy. And I like to circle things, and I noticed the word "I" happens five times.
I did
you
that
did the same thing.
I was just like, "Oh my goodness!"
And and it was like, "Wow." Five times he says, "I." Now he starts his prayer off with, "Oh God," but it's not really a conversation with God, is it? What is this conversation he's doing?
He's talking to himself.
It's a
really
monologue,
yeah.
Not a dialogue.
It really is. It's actually him praising himself.
Yeah, self-righteousness right there of himself and self-centeredness and the big I and pride. Yeah.
Wow. Oh, ouch.
Ouch is right.
This is really, really sad. What you need to know is that culturally back then, they had prayer that they would go and do a certain time at the temple. It was expected on the Day of Atonement. And but devout people would go three times a day, 9, noon, and 3. and then some people would go at other times on Mondays and Thursdays. And on Mondays and Thursdays, they would do specifically a fast. And it said that the people back in that day, the Jews, because they wanted people to know they were fasting, that they would actually whiten their face. They would actually put powder on their face, whiten their face, and dishevel their hair and not wear their best of clothes so that people would know that they were fasting when they would go to pray. Like, this is who he's addressing. And I'm thinking, really? It's like you're staging a performance that they were going and they were doing in the marketplace, dressing up to look like this. Whereas scripture tells us clearly that we should put oil on our face.
It says to also go in the closet.
Right. And that doesn't mean that we don't pray publicly.
Right.
But there is times.
It's all about motive.
Totally. It just cracks me up. And so I just was like, wow, that's a lot of performance that went into this. And Barclay was going on and on about it in his commentary. And just visualizing people taking the time to do all this prep so that somebody would know that they were fasting. And I know I have changed fasts in my life because people have figured it out. And, you know, it's like, oh, wow, I got that obvious. Then I need to switch that up. You know what I mean? Because it's not intended for somebody to know that you're doing it. It's intended to help you to draw near to God, to hear God's heart. And I want us to go and think on this Pharisee. And if you were to contrast the Pharisee and the tax collector, if you could give me one word descriptions for the Pharisee, what would they be?
Arrogant.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
I said self-centered. Yeah.
Self-centered.
Conceited.
Yep.
Full of himself.
Vain.
That's
the synonyms.
prideful. Keeping a list of his good. So, would you think that he's works-based?
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah. Shallow.
Very shallow.
You know what? Insecure.
Yeah.
Yeah. Very legalistic.
Very.
Because in all the. Told him everything he did that was in the law.
You know. Right.
Because it has to be this, this, and this.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
What should his list have been about in his prayers? Instead of about himself, who should he have been listing things about?
God. That's why we should praise God before we begin.
Yeah.
Our Father who art in heaven.
Yeah.
Yep. Hallowed be thy name.
If I was to change this Pharisee's prayer and to make it God-centered, I'd say something like, oh, God, I praise you. Because you love all people. Mm-hmm. You love the greedy. You love the unrighteous. You love the adulterer. Mm-hmm. You love even that tax collector.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Father, I just thank you so much that you love. I mean, do you see the difference of turning it to God-focused versus me-focused?
Can I attack something onto the end of that prayer? Uh-huh. And you even love me.
Yes! Thank you, God. I'm so glad.
That's good.
I didn't add in the fasting twice a week or the tenth of everything.
Because God already knows that.
I know. We don't have to tell those things to God. It's crazy. The purpose of prayer. What is the purpose of prayer?
To honor God.
To draw you near to God.
Mm-hmm. To continue that relationship.
Mm-hmm. Mm.
And also to seek his will. You know, the Pharisees seeking the Pharisees' will and not God's will.
Who gets the glory with his prayer?
Himself.
or no one.
He's seeking for himself, though.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And obviously, he says, and when I'm assuming, I visualize this, I have no idea, because it's a story. He's telling a parable. But when I see this parable, I see this man in my mind, you know, I mean, totally dressed to the nines. Obviously, from Barclay's commentary based on the history, his face whitened, maybe disheveled. But I see him praying out loud where people can hear, oh, God. I thank you that I am not as bad as other people, you know, I mean, to where people can hear what's going on. Versus, describe for me the tax collector. Give me words to describe him.
Broken.
Okay.
Contrite.
Needy.
Okay.
Meek.
Meek. Yeah. Humble. He recognizes he's a sinner. I found David Guzik. He's like one of my favorite commentators, and he's a German theologian. And he said that the word mercy is the Greek word, and I'm going to kill this word because it's a lot of letters, helaskomai. It means atoning sacrifice. So when he was praying this prayer, he is literally, oh God, please atone. For my sin. Become the atoning sacrifice for my sin. That is what he was asking for. And that's like, wow.
Yep.
Wow. Wow, wow. That really changes the prayer. And the fact that he was striking his chest repeatedly, culturally, that is what they would do when they would recognize their sin. They would beat themselves. And the verb tense is that it was a continuous action. It's only used one other time in the Bible, and that's in Hebrews 2:17. Somebody open up get that and let's read it, because I want you to see what it has to say there. And it's translated the propitiation, literally, like as he's the continuous action of what is happening. And it's actually the word that's described what Jesus did in our behalf, what he did in our behalf. That's why they did that. You got it, Sandy?
I do.
Okay, Hebrews 2:17.
Therefore, in all things, he had to be made like his brethren, that he might be a merciful and faithful high priest in things pertaining to God, to make propitiation, I can't even pronounce it, mm-hmm. for the sins of the people.
Yeah. So literally, that continuous action he did in our behalf. Mm-hmm. And so that, it just really adds meaning to what he did. And it's just quite beautiful. And Jesus says, when this man went home, he was what?
Justified.
He was justified.
Yeah. Had to go look.
Yep, he was justified, right with God.
Yeah.
And whereas the Pharisee?
Well, he was self-justified. Mm-hmm. He thought he was justified of what he did.
Yeah. So as we're thinking about these, what do you learn about prayer? What can you say we can learn about prayer based on these two prayers?
You ought to go to God with prayer and humility.
Okay.
And remember you're a sinner.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
Prayer is about his praise and about giving him the glory. Mm-hmm. It's not about how you look to others around you or how you look to God. God knows how you are.
Yeah. That heart God issue. God knows your heart. Yeah, that heart issue. It's always a heart issue. Yep.
Mm.
Absolutely.
Can man rightfully pray when he's proud?
No,
I don't think so.
Yeah, I think that goes back into what we read, you know, and that
He hears a righteous man's prayers.
Prayers of the righteous avail of them much.
So, what about if I despise my fellow man? I'm looking at somebody else and pointing my finger. I'm not like that. Am I really being right before God?
No, I don't think so.
Hmm.
That's hard.
Mm-hmm. That is hard because sometimes this stuff I have to pray. Yeah, mm-hmm. That was so Southern. sometimes the things that we have to pray for is God dealing with my heart over an issue with a person, and I have to get my heart right about the person before God can help me
get past that.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Wow. Who do we need to be aligned with when we pray? Like,
with God.
It's a very obvious question.
Yeah, you align your will with God's.
Yeah, I'm reminded that there is a passage, and I've gone blank on where it's at, but it says that Jesus is our plumb line.
Mm-hmm.
The plumb line is what an architect, when he's building a building, he will have a, like it's a heavy weight on a metal, like string, but it's metal. And they will go to a building, and if the building is built to plumb, the weight and the line will go flush to the building. But if the building is not built plumb, then there will be a space between the line and the weight and the building. And Jesus is our plumb line, that literally we need to constantly be moving our bodies so that we are in alignment with him mm-hmm. when we pray, when we serve, whatever we do. And so this is, it's huge. And I can't remember who wrote this one. Maybe this is Barclay. I think this is Barclay. He said he was on a train and he was traveling in the London area, and there was this incredible whitewashed cottage in the spring as they were going through, that just the white was just bright and brilliant next to the setting of the spring. And when he was traveling through at winter, there was a deep, deep snow that had occurred the night before. And so the cottage was set in the snow. And he said, suddenly the cottage was dingy and dirty compared to the white of the snow. And he said, our lives are like that cottage. Depending on what we are lining ourselves next to, we may think we shine bright, but really we're dingy. Mm-hmm. And that we need to make sure that our alignment is that we're allowing him to wash us white as snow. I thought that was a really good little analogy. Mm-hmm. Okay, so when we're thinking through this, we know that God resists the proud. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Anybody here struggle with pride?
Everyone,
I think way too much.
Everybody.
Yeah, there's probably not a day I don't confess that.
When I say if you say you don't, then That's being prideful.
Ouch. All right. So let's read these three verses. Okay. Janelle, you go to Proverbs 3:34. Beth, you do James 4:6. And Sandy, you do 1 Peter 5:5. And the 1 Peter 5:5 has so much more. I'll add on to that one when we get to it. Okay. But this is about how what God has to say in the Word about resisting the pride. Okay, go ahead, Janelle.
Okay, Proverbs 3:34. He mocks proud mockers, but gives grace to the humble.
Okay, James 4:6.
Well, not yet.
No, I'm not even in 1 Peter. I can't seem to find it. It's like gone.
He resists the proud mockers, but he gives grace and to the humble.
That's what I've got for like 1 Peter.
All right.
I'm almost there. There's James.
I want to do 1 Peter 5:5 last. Go ahead.
James what?
4:6.
Okay, I can get James. I made four there. So at least I have it this time.
I was going to say, I'm glad you have the Bible. It has James in it.
I got the new one. Yes. I read it so much that it actually fell out.
Her book of James fell out of her Bible.
But he gives us even more grace to stand up, to stand against such evil desires. As Scripture says, God opposes the proud but favors the humble. Amen.
Amen. Okay, Sandy, 1 Peter 5:5.
Okay, 1 Peter 5:5. Likewise, you younger people, submit yourselves to your elders. Yes, all of you, be submissive to one another and be clothed with humility. For God resists the proud, but gives grace to the humble.
Okay, I'm going to take it and I want to read it further because I just want you to listen to this. Just be washed in what the Word has to say. So humble yourselves, therefore, under the mighty hand of God, that he may exalt you at the proper time, casting all your care on him because he cares about you. Mm. Be serious. Amen. Be alert. Your adversary, the devil, is prowling around like a roaring lion looking for anyone he can devour. Resist him and be firm in the faith, knowing that the same sufferings and being experienced by your fellow believers throughout the world. Now that God of all grace, who called you to his eternal glory in Christ Jesus, will personally restore, establish, strengthen, and support you after you have suffered a little. Is that amazing?
That's
amazing.
Awesome.
I mean, that's like a good closing.
It is a good closing.
And it's about time for us
to end. I was going to say it's about done. Yeah.
So I just want you to go and read 1 Peter 5, verses 5 through 10. And we just really hope and pray that you guys listen to what Jesus said. He said, men ought to pray that you not lose heart. That's how we began this series. We're going to end it with, you ought to pray that you not lose heart. Mm. Father, I just pray that you give us praying, persisting, prevailing hearts, that we seek you and trust you in all things. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen.